Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement, where our vision is to reach, enhance, and advance lives. It is our prayer that you hear something during this podcast that both transforms and furthers you in the things of God. So, grab your notebook and Bible, and let's dig into the Word together.
Please repeat after me, the only way that I can keep my way pure is to guard it. According to this word, this word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Today, I will receive the word implanted, which is able to save my soul. Take those seats. Anybody ready for the word of the Lord today? Now, I'm going to tell y'all in advance. Danielle Bird threatened me on Wednesday. Where's she at? Yep, there she is. She threatened me on Wednesday. She said, "You don't get to keep your time no more." I don't know. See y'all see these threats I get? She said, "I don't know what timer you using. You don't get to keep the timer no more." I've already started the timer. I'll be done directly. I'll be finished when I'm finished. It's either going to be 5 minutes or 50. Same difference. Same difference. Don't come for me. What have we learned so far? We have learned, especially when it comes to the blood. It says right there in verse 3, which is still on the screen. Oh, it's not. In verse 3, that's my bad. Thank you. It says, he made purification of sins. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And we began to work through the realities of the blood of Jesus. We're trying to recover this lost honor. And I'm making the point all year, Deacon Guan, that Jesus is greater. What is he greater than? Yep. Is he greater than that? Uh-huh. How about that? Yep. Are you sure? Absolutely. So we'll spend a year proving the efficacy of Jesus. Hebrews being one of, if not the greatest Christological works in all of Scripture, it proves that Jesus is not only who he said he was, but who we need him to be. And in so talking about the blood of Jesus, we learned the blood of Jesus is not just a shield, it's an astringent. Something when you want the blood of Jesus to protect you, but you don't want it to clean you from nothing. We learn that the blood of Jesus not only protects, it removes. Amen. And some of us, if we tell the truth, your stains have been there so long, you need a good soak. Long soak. Treat it like self-care. Ha! I know. The blood of Jesus not only inoculates, but it transforms. Amen. It's not only the greatest vaccine, but it's the greatest trainer you can have too. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. But our thanks, people of God, is not the end of the story. Let me give you a few more things about the blood of Jesus, if y'all okay. His blood is a reminder of how we are to live. In other words, in Jesus, you should have some assurance. You should look at Jesus and go, huh, everything's gonna be all right. His blood signaled the ending of a chapter. I know it. When we think about the blood of Jesus, we should be able to rejoice over the reality that that is over. Okay, I'll talk to this side. When you see everything that Jesus has done for you, with you, and through you, there's some things that you should just be like, I'm done with that. I don't even know why I'm letting that bother me no more. His blood did what no other blood can do. And then finally, this is my favorite. His blood is the guarantee. See, we must never forget that as Jesus is hanging on the cross, literally having the skin ripped from his body, the hair ripped from his beard, exposed bones, exposed rib cage, suffocating under the weight of his own body as the soldiers mocked him, and literally used the sponge that one would use to wipe the feces from their body to stuff into his mouth. Y'all didn't know that part of the story. They took the sponge and vinegar mixed with gall and put it into his mouth. And somehow he had enough wherewithal. I don't know about you. One day I closed my finger in the window. I ripped the nail out from the cuticle. And I was bleeding profusely. And luckily my daughter, that middle girl of mine, she was like, Dad, you better put your hand above your head. Because I was losing it. Ooh, I was getting a little woozy. I'm losing blood, and I'm getting woozy, and they can't stop the blood. I'm like, this is a lot. Think about this for a second. Jesus kept himself conscious because he had some things to say. I'm about to pass out over the loss of blood of my finger. Blood is rushing from his body, and he loved us so much that he kept himself conscious to say crazy stuff like, Father, forgive them. Excuse me, sir, you're bleeding to death. And you are literally about to choke on your own blood. And you worried about me. Then he says something that is apropos for our message today. Here it is. It is finished. This is why it says he sat down. He sat down. I've done it. Ain't no need of me doing nothing else. I'm going, maybe when I used to be doing the most on my grandmother's house, you know, I'd go to my grandmother's house. They were much older than me, and as a little boy, I'd come. And Deacon Sanders, I'd have entire suitcases of toys. Because I don't know how long my parents gonna leave me over here, so I need to entertain myself. And so my grandmother would tolerate that, and my grandfather would tolerate it for so long. I'm jumping off the furniture, doing all manner of boy things. My grandfather say, here. Give me that noise. And my grandmother would say, boy, can't you get somewhere and sit down? Get somewhere and sit down. Jesus literally was like, I'm about to go on somewhere and sit down. Because I done all I got to do. So if he's sitting, why you worrying? If he's sitting, why you stressing? If he's sitting, why you're sitting there like, I don't know what I'm going to do. His work is done. And let me give you one more piece. And he didn't lose. His work is done. And he didn't lose. We must believe that his work did something. I'm gonna prove it. Romans 8, put this up. Go to Romans 8, chapter 1. Daniel Bird, I got 31 minutes. I'm gonna fool with Daniel Bird this whole message today. Romans 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no... See, y'all be missing the good gospel places. There's no condemnation for those. You can't condemn me. I don't like you. That's fine. I don't think you deserve that. That's fine, too. There's no condemnation. There's no condemnation. But I know what you used to do. It was me. Huh? Somebody, I heard. Be like, what'd you hear? Let me see if you got the whole story. Because what you heard might not have been as bad as it really was. Because here, watch this. Truth of the matter is this. If I tell you how bad it really was, and you see that I didn't lose my mind, you should mess around and really praise God. Because if he can do it for me. See, y'all. Some of y'all don't want to tell the whole testimony. But the whole testimony is where it's at. You mean to tell me that you used to do this and this and this and this and this? I got some more stuff I used to do too. And let me tell you, at the end of all of that, he still loves me. He still cares for me. Huh? As the song says, you know, some of these new Fandango songs don't do it, but this line I like. He thought I was worth saving. That's a good lyric right there. He thought I was worth saving. Now here's the beauty of that, Desmond Juanita. I don't care if you think I'm worth saving or not. Because guess what? Your blood couldn't do it anyway. What difference does it make if you think I'm worth saving when your blood ain't worth nothing? All you can get is something at the plasma little donor place. That's all your blood. Veronica said, I can't even do that one. Look at verse 2. Look at verse 2. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin. Thank you, Jesus. I'm free. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So, I just, today, I want to give you three reminders about this seat. Three things that the seat should bring to mind. Just three. And in order to do that, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, because he's sitting. Somebody say, he's sitting. As a matter of fact, some of you in your notes need to make yourself a note to self. Note to self, if he's sitting, I'm not stressing. Note to self, if he's sitting, I'm not stressing. Ephesians chapter 2. Watch this. Now, I want you to write down this first reminder, and then I'll read the verses. Write this down in your notes, because I got to give it to you. Prayerfully, we'll make it through this. Write this. His seat reminds us that we have a way out. See? His seat reminds us that we have a way out. How many of you have ever thought to yourself, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this? Okay, some of y'all not telling the truth. Anybody ever been in a spot like, ooh, I'm in a pickle? I ain't sure how I'm about to get out of this. His seat as father reminds you, oh, I'm good. Ain't no need of me stressing. Oh, I need you to prove that. Okay. You were dead. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. That's us, right? Verse 2. Ooh, there it is. In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Verse 3. Now look. Among them we too all. We all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Verse 4. Look. But God. It's like one of my favorite in all the scriptures. I was a mess. But God. Being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Verse 5, look. Even when we were dead in our transgression, he made us alive. He made us alive together with Christ by grace. Leave this verse up. By grace, you've been saved. So you mean to tell me that all my stupid, all my idiotic, all my foolhardiness, all my, I can't believe I did that, all my, what was I thinking? Okay. All my whys. And the Lord is like, look, even when you were dead, I made you alive. You were gone. Okay. There's something about performing life-saving measures. Okay. There's something, Devin, when you perform life-saving measures, because you can't perform them on yourself. Y'all still not with me. You can't put the defibrillator on yourself. You can't give yourself mouth to mouth. You can't perform CPR on you. You can't. This means that you're dead and somebody chose. See that thing gonna start making sense. You mean to tell me that you saw me dead sometimes of a self-inflicted wound? And you love me so much that when you could have walked by me and you could have said, you brought that on yourself. It keep coming back to me, Pastor Jared, you thought I was worth saving. And you messed around, and when everybody else was like, leave him dead, you was like, clear, poof, bring him back. Everybody was like, he ain't worth it. Let him die. Let him sit there. Let him lose his mind. And Jesus said, no, y'all move back. Clear, boom. I'm going to make you alive. Everybody else is like, no, they ain't good enough. They messed up. It was real bad. They're this and they're that. Jesus said, well, get out. Jesus will put people out when he want to bring somebody back. Okay. I say it. Jesus will put some people out when he want to bring some people back. Y'all still ain't here. You sitting up there like, why you leave me? Why you leave me? Where did you go? Why did you run away? They didn't leave. He put them out. Because if you're going to get in the way when I'm trying to bring them back, and why would I want faithless people in the operating room? Clear, poof, I'm bringing you back. And I don't care what nobody thinks. I'm bringing you back to praise me. I'm bringing you back to honor me. I'm bringing you back to give me glory. I'm bringing you back. And for those of us who understand, you could have let me die in my sleep last night. So when you sit up there and come across a verse, he's sitting down. Huh. I ain't got nothing to worry about. Because I got, if you sitting, I got a way out. But then write number two down. Whew, I'm trying. Strengthen me, Lord. Write this down. His seat reminds us that we have a place. Oh, yes. Number one, his seat reminds us that we have a way out. Number two, his seat reminds us that we have a place. Excuse me? I got a place. What did you just say? I got a place. You don't understand. Look at verse 6. Here it is. Oh, I might not. He raised us up with him and seated us. You mean to tell me that everybody can tell me I ain't got no seat, and the Lord himself says, come sit next to me. Come sit right here next to me. You got a place. You got a place. Somebody's trying to figure out, where do I fit in? Next to Jesus. Nobody else thought that I could go on their platform. Jesus got a seat for you. Okay, I'm about to get in trouble, and I care if not. You got to understand, all these popularity contests in the body of Christ, who cares whether or not you gonna let me on your stage? You trying to get on somebody's stage that ain't got no good blood. Performing, trying to get the accolades of men. I don't care. I got a place next to him. I got a spot next to him. I'm with him. I'm with him. Yes, I've made mistakes, but I don't have to hold my head down. Yes, I shouldn't have done it. Yes, I shouldn't have said it. Yes, I shouldn't have been there. Yes, I might have got caught. But guess what? I'm with him. I'm with him. I'm with him. I'm with him. Yeah, maybe y'all don't understand the way that works. When you get next to somebody that got enough power, you get to go where they get to go. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Well, you get to throw that name around if you got enough juice. Huh? The best NBA experience I ever had was one of my college buddies. We played in the band together, and his sister was dating a player from the real good Bulls team. There's a difference. I'm talking about Jordan, Pippen, Rodman, that one. She was dating one of them players, and he said, hey, we were touring in Chicago in college. He said, you want to go to the game? Do I want to go to the game? Yeah. And so we got these tickets, and I noticed they didn't look like regular tickets, and they came with other accoutrements. Putting stuff around your neck. These ain't normal tickets. And we walk in, and we didn't go through the normal door. Y'all still out here. Everybody was waiting in line. We was going around the line. We didn't have to order food. They brought the food to us. So look at this. We had waiters in our section. It was different. Our section was different. Our section was unique. We had ropes around our section. I said, this ain't the normal section. And you know me, I'm in college, so they doing the yell meter, and me and the fool next to me, we both in college, we yelling. They looking at us like. We don't yell in this section. We sip cappuccinos, and we don't yell. And I'm sitting there, and the game is over. And when the game is over, everybody's been ushered out, and they let the ropes, and I got to walk on the floor. I said, wait, different access. And then I went from the floor to the locker room. Then I went from the locker room back there in the back, and I was standing next to Jordan. I said, look at that. There's Jordan and Pippen and Rodman. I gotta look up, because I'm close to the ground. I'm aerodynamic down here. But the reality is this, because of who I knew, I had access to things that I would have never had access to if I wouldn't have been rolling with him. What you think you got access to with Jesus?
Come on.
You better go up to your problem and say, I'm with him. See? It's that simple. I'm with him. I'm not stressed. I'm with him. Here's number three, and I'm through. His seat reminds us that we have purpose. Excuse me? Look at verse 7. So then, in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace, verse 8, you've been saved. Through faith, not of yourselves. You ain't all that. It's the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Again, you ain't all that. We are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision. I love this verse. Look, remember the formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh. Remember that you, the West Side that are called. Remember that you, the Black that are called. Remember that you, the not as fortunate are called. The tall, the short, the skinny, the whatever label they want to put on you. Remember? Whoever calling you something that I didn't call you. Remember the people who got it but don't have it.
Oh.
Because it's possible to have it in my hand but not really have it. Notice what he calls them. You're Gentiles in the flesh who are called the uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision. You think you bad because you got cut, but my heart got cut and your skin did. You want to tell me you're better than me because your cut is visible and my cut is invisible. You think you bad because of your title. I know I'm fortunate because of my story. You walking around like I am. I don't care. Don't care nothing. Put all that title away. Who are you without all that? I go to these events with all these great pontificators of the gospel. So much title they can't even fill out an application. They ain't got enough boxes for them. You got too much. You can't put it all in there. And they come to me. What's your name? Robert. Robert, well, they said that you was a bishop. Okay, then you didn't ask me that. You asked me what my name was. Robert. Ara is my... R-O-B-E-R-T. Robert. It's my name. It's my government. It's my government name. Huh? Because Jesus ain't going to call me bishop. And all I want to hear is servant. Yeah. Yes, sir. Some of y'all, some of us in the body of Christ done got too spooky. You want all this stuff and you want to climb over people to get it. You want, come on, you're mean, you're nasty, you ain't got, oh yes. And Jesus is like, wait, I don't know you. Verse 12. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God. Jesus. Here's the gospel, and I'm going to pray. Verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus. That is good to me. This is it. If y'all want. Now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood. Thank you. You mean to tell me that you love me so much that you're going to bring me close even when I didn't want to be close? You're brought near by the blood. He brought me near. I need y'all to understand how good that is. I'm trying to run away and you're like, come here. Come here and sit next to me. You're like, but I want to go kick it. You get over here and sit down. Right, sit down, because you don't know how to act right. Don't you leave my sight. Don't you leave my sight. I'm not letting you out of my sight, because you don't do right. You don't play well with others yet. Sit down. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you brought me near. That I wasn't too putrid for you. That my past wasn't too much. You read my resume and still hired me. Everybody in this room that needs that turnaround, that's like, Lord, bring me near. Hands lifted. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. All of us in this room with our hands lifted, we want to be brought near. And if we're close, we want to be brought closer. Closer, closer, closer. So that we, God, may come to the place where we can just sit next to you. Thank you for the seat and forgive us for not sitting in it. But today, God, we make a decision to not just talk about you, but come sit next to you. In the name of Jesus, Son of the Living God. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I challenge you to make hearing the word a consistent habit. And if you know someone who may benefit from hearing this teaching, I encourage you to send it to them as well. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer.